You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
On a Thursday afternoon, it is the Gym Class with you here on KGYM. Glad to be with you as always. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash one more time today. Actually, two more times. I'll be with you for the rest of the week. Scott off in Des Moines, as we've told you, covering high school hoops. Good one last night in Class 1A. Featuring North Lynn, improbable comeback. We may get to that on the show today as we talk sports with you here for the next hour. Brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. And, of course, streaming worldwide at KGYMradio.com. Also available on your smartphone with our KGYM app. You can download that for free today in your app store. Also got it available on your smart speaker. 319-366-1600. Talker text line open for you today. It's an instant reaction show. Iowa State wrapping up within the last hour. Iowa currently in progress. Hawkeyes and Buckeyes from the United Center in Chicago and everything in between. Talk about those things. Get your thoughts on what's going on here today. And we'll be covering plenty of basketball on the show today as the coach, Kevin Lehman, will join us for the weekly Off the Glass segment coming up here in about 25 minutes or so. Also on the program today, a Bowling Night in America recap. Cannot forget that. That is coming up right before the end of the program today, about 3:50 or so on your airwaves. Again, 319-366-1600. Glad to be with you here from the Warm and Dry Studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Mark Dukes joining me as well today. Mark, happy snow day. It seems like every Thursday is the snow day now. How are you?
Seems to be. Good afternoon, Spencer. Good afternoon, everyone. And a bit of an awkward day here on the Gym Class as we talk a lot about, of course, Iowa State, Iowa basketball, and the fact that Iowa's game is in progress. A really good game, about 9 minutes left. And Iowa taking a one-point lead. Spencer, I think we're approaching about 20 lead changes in this game.
I saw the stat right before we came on the air. There were 7 lead changes in a span of 2 minutes and 12 seconds in the second half. So, it is a pretty wild basketball game. We can't tell you much. We don't want to break any rules, but Iowa just took a four-point lead on Ohio State. Iowa was trailing by 1 at the break, leading by 4 now, under 9 minutes to play in Chicago, looking to advance to quarterfinal Friday and a date with Michigan State tomorrow afternoon. We'll keep you up to date on what's happened so far today. As I talked on the brief edition, Mark, of Spencer on Sports in the 2:30 half hour that I had after the Iowa State postgame show, especially with the Big Ten, it looks like we're starting to get some clarity when it comes to the bubble teams after what happened both last night and earlier today.
Very much so. Wisconsin dropping a game last night to Ohio State, and earlier today, Rutgers beating Michigan 62-50. Wisconsin was considered a bubble team, although I did notice Joe Lunardi had the Badgers out as of this morning. Mm-hmm. Michigan needed a win or two to move forward, and looks like both those teams may be out. And right, you know, this is the fourth game of the tournament right now, Iowa and Ohio State, and already three high seeds have defeated three lower seeds. So it is a tournament as promised.
That is true. We had I know I whiffed on my two picks. I don't know if you ever made official picks on the show yesterday, Mark, but I thought Wisconsin would come out with a little bit extra fire. They, like you said, needed a win. I put it probably at 3 games just to, you know, solidify themselves, maybe even with a spot in Dayton, but boy, that's not what they did. Just a brutal performance. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised because we've seen Wisconsin turn in plenty of those this season. But Ohio State did have to sweat a little bit there at the end, but ended up pulling out the win, the 13 over the 12 last night. And then Iowa fans everywhere, after seeing the performance the Huskers turned in at Carver-Hawkeye Arena on Sunday, saying, of course now you cool off from three to Fred Hoiberg and the bunch as the Huskers fall to the number 14 seed Minnesota.
That's exactly right. And Nebraska did not look good. Good for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. An inspired win for them. They're not going anywhere, but did pull off the victory there. And Ohio State, super strong in the first half against Wisconsin, had what, as much as a 27-point lead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Credit to Wisconsin, though, in coming back. And I really thought Ohio State was only like a 12-hour turnaround. You know, might be a little leg-weary today against Iowa. But then on the other hand, you think about it, I think Ohio State starts four freshmen. Mm-hmm. And these kids in AAU ball play as many as four games in a day. Granted, it's not Big Ten play. Mm-hmm. But I guess they're a little more resilient than I would guess.
Yeah, Ohio State playing tough now, 57-54 at the under eight media timeout. Peyton Sanford just picking up his third foul. I know there's been a lot of discussion about fouls, but at least two of them, and fouling, you know, not everything, not the whole part of the coin. Iowa is shooting still 4 of 14 from beyond the arc. Ohio State not much better at 5 of 15, and Iowa with eight turnovers so far in the game, seven of those in the first half. So, you know, officiating not the whole, you know, story of how things are going, but Sanford with three fouls, had two in the first half, so he sat for a good chunk of the second half of the first half, if you get what I mean, the final 9 minutes or so of that first half. But there was one of those fouls called on Sanford that was kind of interesting to see how or why, and trying to figure out what exactly happened, because the Ohio State player simply fell down, and Sanford, I guess, might have been in the wrong place at the wrong time because he got a foul whistled for him. But I digress. Peyton Sanford now with three fouls. Filip Bracha in that game right now leading the Hawkeyes with 16 points. Tony Perkins up to 14, and Chris Murray 13 points on 5 of 14 shooting as they battle Ohio State in the second half, like we said, at the under eight media timeout. Date ahead with Michigan State for either team, no matter who comes out of this one. And then Rutgers-Purdue will kick things off. We briefly touched on the Michigan loss, Mark, with their team falling by 12 to Rutgers in that game earlier today. Rutgers-Purdue, that was a good meeting earlier this year. Those two teams have played, of course, this season, and Rutgers handed them a loss at Mackey Arena. So Rutgers has some experience in knocking off Purdue this year. You know, kind of a different point of the season. Rutgers has had some key injuries this year. Mag, one of their key guys, is out for the rest of the year and will not play, of course. But Rutgers has beaten them once before this season, so I think we should have a good one coming our way tomorrow morning at 11 a.m.
Yeah, Omen Yuri in the middle can cause some problems for Zach Edey, I think. He did today with Hunter Dickinson. He's a tough dude in the middle, can block a lot of shots. Of course, Edey is much taller. It'd be interesting to see with Rutgers with a game under its belt and riding some momentum there. Right now, Iowa up by two with under 7 minutes left in that particular ball game. But I think we're in store for some more wild stuff. You know, we get Penn State and Illinois mm-hmm. coming up. That's going to be a really solid game, I think. Maryland should get by Minnesota in the late game, but making for an interesting 3-day stretch after today.
Yeah, it certainly is. Penn State and Illinois, Penn State and another team. You look at the bubble right now, and you could throw Rutgers in there as well. I think, beating Michigan, I think solidifies themselves a little bit. Certainly knocking off Purdue, I think, bumps them into the field for sure. But Joe Lunardi, his bracketology update from last night, has both Penn State and Rutgers playing in Dayton. So Penn State needs to win, too. They can't afford a loss. Maybe a close loss wouldn't hurt them, but you don't want to see your name as that last four in, especially going into a tournament situation like this, because you know one slip up can cost you a whole lot. Just ask Wisconsin and Michigan, right?
Yeah, exactly. And as far as Iowa goes, it's safely in the tournament. Mm-hmm. What it's playing for now is a seed, and I gotta believe it's between 7 and 9. Whether you're an 8 or a 9, it really doesn't matter. 8 is like a 9. They're brothers and sisters, right?
That is true.
It would be nice to get a 7. Should I lose this game, I think it's squarely an 8 or a 9.
Yeah, I agree. Joe Lenardi has Iowa still as a 7. So, and really, you know, the difference between a 7 and an 8 is pretty big because, you know, the matchup might be a little bit more favorable as a 7 over a 10 versus an, you know, an 8-9 matchup. And on the other hand, too, you don't have a number one seed, which is, you know, obviously the cream of the crop, staring at you in the face. If you're an 8 and you advance, or you're a 9 and you advance, you know, okay, great, you won a game. You know, here's Houston for you. Here's Alabama, right? Like, I mean, not that, you know, the current projection has Iowa as a 7 with Baylor as the 2 seed below them. So not that, you know, Baylor is any easier than playing a Houston or an Alabama or a UCLA or whatever. But I think you might feel a little bit better about your chances of maybe going on a little bit of a run if you're a 7 as opposed to an 8 or a 9, right? I think that's pretty fair to say.
Yeah, I think so. It's just a slight edge in the seedings, but still that 7-10 game is much like an 8-9. Mm-hmm. You don't have to play number one seed the next game if you do happen to win, so I guess there's a better chance of advancement. But, you know, so much is going to get sorted out this weekend. It's just crazy.
Absolutely. 319-366-1600 as Iowa leads 59-57 with about 5 minutes and change left in Chicago. We'll have the coach Kevin Lehman joining us coming up here in about 15 minutes or so as we bring you the Off the Glass segment here on a Thursday afternoon. Big win for Iowa State, Mark, as we switch to the Big 12 here. And three wins this year over a pretty darn good Baylor team. Especially the last two, I think a lot of people really didn't have in the win column for Iowa State. So an impressive back-to-back here for the Cyclones and Coach T.J. Otzelberger.
Agree. Iowa State was in a desperate situation when it went to Waco in the regular season final. And I didn't think it would be a particularly good matchup today for Iowa State, just coming off that game, trying to beat Baylor 3 times in 1 season. Gabe Kalscher was terrific, 24 points. And now we'll get the winner of Kansas and West Virginia tomorrow. And unfortunate news on Kansas head coach Bill Self, who is in University of Kansas Hospital dealing with an illness. It was originally described as a vascular problem. No more information out on that, but hope for the best for Bill Self. Right now, Kansas leading 31-23 at halftime without Bill Self.
Yeah, Kansas had a slightly bigger lead early, but they still lead by 8 here at the break. So likely headed towards a third meeting between Iowa State and Kansas. Of course, they had a classic down in Lawrence. Iowa State really just laid the hammer down in Ames and won that one going away. So the winner is going to get a chance to play for a Big 12 title, Big 12 tournament title, which is huge, and get that auto bid, especially for Iowa State. A lot of motivation going into that matchup tomorrow against KU, potentially KU.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, 3 wins in 1 season over a team that has resided in the top 10 much of the season is extremely noteworthy. I don't know how it's going to affect Baylor, but it can't help but improve Iowa State's, resume in that committee room this weekend. We'll see what Iowa State does going forward, but can do nothing but help today.
Absolutely. Iowa State still on the 5 line, according to Joe Lunardi. And I know, I think we talked last week, I think it was last Thursday or Friday, Mark, about Iowa State going into that game against Baylor. And maybe Joe Lunardi was onto something, because I think we both questioned Iowa State's lost, 4 in a row, 6 out of the last 7. But Lunardi has them as a 6 with an up arrow. What's going on here? And maybe Mr. Brackets himself was maybe he was onto something, because I think they have definitely solidified themselves at the very least as a 6. But I wouldn't argue with them as a low end 5, would you?
No, I think it's a 5 or 6, and maybe that was not a mistake on Lunardi's part when we noticed that. We certainly thought so at the time, but I think a 5 or 6 is very reasonable for Iowa State.
Putting the whole resume into consideration for sure, but Lunardi has Iowa State playing over in Albany, New York as the 5, taking on, this is one of those teams we talked about on yesterday's show, 30-win Oral Roberts team. That would be certainly a fun one to watch, because I think some people are going to peg Oral Roberts as maybe one of their upset specials. So if you're Iowa State, you certainly want to avoid an upset there if you do get seeded into that bracket. But Iowa State, Oral Roberts, the projected matchup there with UConn and Iona, the Gaels, as a 13, according to Joe Lunardi's projection as of this moment. So Iowa still a 7, Iowa State as a 5. Drake also obviously locked in the field as the automatic qualifier out of the Missouri Valley, still projected to be meeting up with the Horned Frogs of TCU in a 5-12 matchup as well. So going to get three teams from the state in. I think that's obviously very safe to say, but where they are seated obviously remains to be seen.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch the state of Iowa teams. Right now, Iowa trailing by 3 points with a little more than 3 minutes left in the Big Ten opener for the Hawkeyes and Iowa with the ball. So down the stretch we come.
Roddy Gale for Ohio State, scoring 7 points in the span of 2 minutes and 40 seconds for the Buckeyes as they turned the 2-point deficit into a 3-point lead. Mr. Gale averages about 3 points a game. So
you're looking for
the guy who I hate to call a Division I athlete random, but you look for the random guy that has a big showing in some of these games. That might be the guy, Roddy Gale, as Iowa just cut it to 64-63. Tony Perkins having a nice second half here. Perkins with 14, Rabracha up to 18, with about 2 minutes and 40 seconds left of that one. So that game should be finished up by the time we talk to Kevin Lehman here in just a little bit. But that game coming down to the wire here between the Hawkeyes and the Buckeyes. Looking at the bubble, just to keep folks up to date, we mentioned Wisconsin and Michigan. I think next time we get an update from Joe Lunardi, we're going to see those teams, I think, pretty far off the radar considering their losses in the Big Ten tournament early. But we mentioned the last 4 in for Joe Lunardi: Penn State, Rutgers, Oklahoma State, and Utah State. The last team in the field, last teams with byes in the tournament: North Carolina State, who plays tonight against Clemson, Boise State, Pittsburgh, who is getting absolutely waxed at last check by the Duke Blue Devils in Greensboro. 90-55. Duke is beating Pitt in an ACC quarterfinal. So does that drop Pitt down a little bit? I don't know. Losing to Duke will cost you on your resume, but Pitt kind of in a precarious position there when you look at what Joe Lunardi has. And then Mississippi State and Chris Jans as the last team with a bye, according to Mr. Lunardi from ESPN.com. So interesting to see what his latest update has. Usually updates at about 11 o'clock or so our time at night, and we'll see how the bubble adjusts here after an interesting day of tournament action.
And it will. Tony Perkins just missing 2 free throws, so Iowa's still down 1. Ohio State with the ball with 2 minutes left in that ball game, and Ohio State just hit another 3.
Yep, 67-63 Buckeyes with a minute 47 left as the Hawkeyes trail by four. So unless a comeback happens here, still possible, looking at a one and done in the Big Ten tournament, which, as we agreed to a little bit ago, I think will firmly put Iowa on the 8-9 side of things in the bracket, which is where they've been projected for quite a while. So maybe not all that off where most of the prognosticators thought they would be.
Well, if you've watched Iowa, you know this game's not over yet.
True.
By any means.
Don't
147
leave early.
Left. And Rebraca made the first of two at the line. He's had a really, really good game. And now he's made the second. So it's a two-point game with really plenty of time left.
If you are listening to us from the United Center, which I doubt any of you are, do not leave early. If you've not learned your lesson from the Michigan State game, I know all of you there are listening to the Gym Class this afternoon. Why wouldn't you be? But yeah, 67-65 with about 90 seconds left in that one.
Turning down the volume and turning us up. Hello, anybody out there?
We do have a text from 9049 on the text line. Someone is listening today. I felt like I needed to do a roll call today. Signify by saying "I" if you are tuned in at 319-366-1600. But 9049, I'm assuming you're talking about Gabe Kalscher, 9049. Gabe is like a transformer going from offense to defense. I noticed your text after we had finished up our little chat about Iowa State there, but you talk about that Iowa State game, Mark. Impressive stuff from Kalscher. To go back to the texter, Kalscher with 24 points, 6 of 11 from 3, and Taman Lipsey too, a ton of credit for him. You know, it's so late in the season that, you know, he's a freshman. Yes, he technically is, but he's gotten so much experience that he's showing what he can do on the court. And 13 points, 5 of 10 from the floor, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists. Huge game for Taman Lipsey against a good Baylor team today.
Yeah, he's been on the all-freshman team in the Big 12, and that's saying something. T.J. Otzelberger playing a lot of players. I think almost everybody that was on his bench, and large or small, it seemed like every one of them contributed. Kuntz and big guys in the middle that you haven't seen a whole lot of. And that's what you need at this time of year. And Iowa State got it. Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, with an assumption built in, will Iowa State beat Kansas tomorrow, yes or no? Kansas has not advanced as yet, but is up 7 on West Virginia, make it 8 right now.
That is our poll question, courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement at KGYMRadio.com. We will have Iowa State and either Kansas or West Virginia on the airwaves tomorrow. No pregame show because we have local programming when pregame would start, but we'll join it right before tip-off at 6. And then the championship game, potentially involving the Cyclones, would be Saturday at 5 p.m. right here. If Iowa State gets there, we'll have it for you right here on the Gym. I put out the call to the roll call, and we have Cyclone Tim and Jeff both checking in at 319-366-1600. Kind of a weird day. Again, Iowa's playing right now, so we know a lot of folks probably focused on the game. Iowa State wrapped up, so kind of a odd day to be doing a sports talk show here in Eastern Iowa, but appreciate those of you that have checked in at 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim saying his teams are on a roll. Iowa State and North Lynn. I don't want to spoil the scoreboard, which we'll get to momentarily, Mark, but North Lynn with, do I dare say, improbable comeback last night in the 1A semis?
Yeah, especially one of its best players being injured and advanced to the 1A state championship game. That'll be played tomorrow, I believe, 1 o'clock. Scott Unas on the call with CRM Live Sports with the state championship game. But North Lynn was down big time and came back and won.
A 16-point deficit, if I remember correctly, and came back to win that game. So big win for North Lynn. I think Xavier tips off here momentarily as well. So good luck to those that are left. Closing seconds here for Iowa and Ohio State. We'll chat with that in the Iowa State game, and even Drake with the coach Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a moment. But before we get to that, let's get to that Emil's Highway scoreboard update.
You mentioned Xavier. Yes, the Saints will play Sioux City Heelan coming up shortly. That tip over in Des Moines in a semifinal matchup. Texas Tech head basketball coach Mark Adams resigned yesterday. Of course, he was suspended amid comments that he made that were deemed offensive by the university. Lisa Bluter has been named one of 10 finalists for the College Women's Basketball Naismith Coach of the Year Award. And from the desk of Iowa President Barbara Wilson today, the university has reached an agreement to pick up the $2 million cost that the state of Iowa was on the hook for in that racial discrimination suit. So that means that Iowa will cover the whole cost of that suit, which is $4.1 million and change.
Yeah, the $2 million that was going to go to the taxpayers getting covered, I believe, by the athletics budget, if I remember the story correctly. So all the non-Iowa fans, and even Iowa fans that were upset about that, I think the right thing has been done in the end. We got plenty of basketball to get to. We've already gotten to plenty of basketball, but plenty more to talk about. We'll be joined by the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up here in just a moment as we get you our Off the Glass segment coming up here in just a few minutes. It is the Gym Class brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union, and it's right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And snow will continue to fall through the afternoon and into this evening and could be heavy at times. That's going to lead to slick conditions for the evening commute. You want to make sure you're taking it easy out on the streets with the slushy snow and be careful when you are shoveling it as well. As we head into tonight, the snow will start to taper off. Accumulation of 3 to 6 inches is expected. And we may have some lingering flurries tomorrow with cloudy skies and temperatures in the 30s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier boys basketball team rolls on in the postseason. The Saints top Des Moines Hoover 49-38 in the Class 3A state basketball quarterfinal on Tuesday. Junior Joe Bean paced the Saints with 15 points, and senior Aiden Yamalkowski added 13. With the win, the Saints return to the state semifinals for the first time since 2018. Xavier will face Bishop Heelan this afternoon at 3:45 at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. Good luck to Coach Freeman and the Saints today. The 2023 girls basketball All-State teams have been announced. Xavier senior Kyla Mason was named to the Class 4A second team, and sophomore Libby Fandel was named to the first team for the second year in a row.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Stay safe on the roads with Rain-X Weather Armor Windshield Wiper Blades. Now at Menards. They provide less streaking, better driving visibility, and clear wipe performance throughout any season. Rain-X Wiper Blades are available in assorted sizes, so you can find the right fit for your windshield. Get 11% off all Rain-X Wiper Blades at Menards. Good through March 12th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
You could win $500 in the I'm On Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at kgymradio.com. I'm On Communications, your local choice for internet, TV, and phone.
Take your favorite sports talk programming with you anywhere on the go with a free KGYM Sports Radio app. Local sports talk in the afternoon and ESPN all day. Right in your pocket. Hang out with your friends from the gym by searching KGYM Sports Radio in the App Store today.
Back here in the Gym Class at 3:33. Spencer and Mark with you here on a Thursday afternoon. Snowy Thursday. Be safe on the roads out there with that winter storm warning going until 3 a.m. for a good chunk of eastern Iowa. Winter is back. I don't think we ever thought it was gone, but it is back, Mark. Well, full spring here in early March before today.
Yeah, you're never clear until you're into April or maybe even May, I guess. But you're hopeful in March, and Mother Nature had other ideas today.
That is very true. Iowa down 3, 9 seconds left. 72-69. We'll let that one come to a conclusion as we bring in our guest here on the program, the coach, Kevin Lehman, joining us for the Off the Glass segment here once again on a Thursday here at KGYM. Kevin, busy, busy day. We're not pulling you away from the final seconds too early, are we?
I'm sitting here at my son's apartment in Omaha. I was going to drive back, but I was too riveted. I'm watching this game. I just couldn't get up and leave. This is craziness.
Quite the game back and forth. Iowa trailed by one at the break. Ohio State currently leading by 3 as the Buckeyes just made a free throw here. Iowa taking a timeout. Justice suing at the line as the Buckeyes cling on to a 3-point game. We'll let that one come to a conclusion here as we get started here. But let's rewind to earlier today, Kevin. The Cyclones with a win, third win this season. They sweep Baylor and move on to the Big 12 semifinals. What did you think of that performance from T.J. Osselberger's team?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic, especially in the second half. And Tamlin Lipsey was sensational in that game. Kalsher knocking threes in. Holmes, I've always liked. He's kind of that guy that's going to win games for you. I tell you what, though, I think T.J. Osselberger's done a fantastic job with his team. They were in the dumps and lost a number of games in a row, and then he went down to Baylor and you know, played the entire squad there in the first half. It kind of invigorated that team after the dismissal of Caleb Grill, and they've come back and just playing really well right now. I think that's one of the He's pushed the right buttons numerous times for this team this season.
The opponent tomorrow could be Kansas, and of course, Bill Self in the hospital right now. I know you've had a good relationship with Bill. Do you know anything more about that, and what are your thoughts?
No, I don't know anything about that, Mark, other than what I saw when I was watching the game this morning, that he was ill. I didn't know he was in the hospital. They started the season with him on suspension, so they've played without him before. They have a lead right now here going into halftime over West Virginia. But I can't update you on Bill Self's health. Obviously, we want to make sure that he's okay and is going to recover nicely.
Kind of a, you know, I want to say it's a strange turnaround, but an important turnaround for the Cyclones here. We talked, going into the game last week, Kevin, about 4 straight losses, losing 6 of 7, but getting the win at Waco, getting the win now over Baylor, another shot at Kansas for a trip to the Big 12, tournament championship game on Saturday. Really impressive for this Iowa State team to considering the up and down season they had, the tough stretch there. You throw in the dismissal of Caleb Grill, one of their key players. Really impressive what they were able to do in getting those 2 wins over Baylor and really kind of steadying the ship in the rough waters.
Well, Spencer, not only that, they actually got 3 wins over Baylor this season,
yep,
which is unbelievable. I think Baylor's on that 2-seed line today before that loss. So this is going to really bolster Iowa State, which is laying on that 5-seed line right now. But to beat a team that good, and Baylor's really good, not quite as good as they were 2 years ago, but to beat them 3 times and to win down at Baylor just a week ago and turn around and do that again, that's really hard to do. And you've got to really focus your team to do that, because obviously Baylor had all the motivation in their camp after losing at home this Iowa State team.
It has gone final in Chicago. Iowa has been defeated by Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament. The Buckeyes send the Hawkeyes home packing early. And Kevin, Ohio State had lost 9 straight games, and then it looked really, really good late in the season against Illinois and Maryland, and I made a comment that I'm not sure this is a team you want to play in the postseason. And through the first 2 games, Ohio State has proven that.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. And in coaching, you talk about 4 seasons. You have your non-conference games prepared for your conference season. Then you have the conference regular season. Your 3rd season is the conference tournament. Then the 4th season is postseason play, hopefully in the NCAA. So what you do as a coach is trying to build momentum toward that. And that's why Ohio State team, gutsy win over Wisconsin last night and then over this Iowa team. I'm still trying to figure out how Iowa lost to Nebraska. I was down in St. Louis on that Missouri Valley Conference calls, and I didn't get a chance to see it. I just looked at the box score trying to figure out how you can lose a game when you took 21 more field goal attempts than Nebraska did. That's the stat that still got me scratching my head, but evidently it means you didn't shoot it very well. Tonight, just four threes for the Hawks. They may have got five there at the end, but it's just we know this team's got to shoot the ball well for them to have success, and they just didn't do that today.
4 of 17 from three, 24%. They shot 46% from the floor. Just going through the final stats here. We look at turnovers, 11-8. Iowa had 7 in the first half that led to that 1-point deficit for them in the United Center at the break. But overall, Kevin, Mark, and I were talking before we brought you on the show today. Iowa, last projection we saw from a guy like Joe Lunardi had them as a 7, but I think at least Mark and I were in agreement that this probably puts Iowa as an 8-9 seed range. What do you think about that for the Hawkeyes?
I'm with you on that, guys. They're going to have to drop at least one seed line with this loss. Their net was hanging around 37 this morning. That's going to drop somewhat. So and that's the one we kept talking about. They needed to avoid the 8-9 line because you're going to have to play a number one, unless it was a huge upset in that second round. But you got to win that first one. So they're going to be sitting, Sunday, waiting to see where they're going to be picked and where they're going to go for that regional. But you want momentum at this time. They just seem to be – they don't have it right now with that loss at home to Nebraska and then this loss to Ohio State. I think most of us are hoping they can make another run through the Big Ten tournament like they did last year, but just not in the cards with this team.
Nationally, Jim Boeheim is announced his retirement. He's kind of a polarizing figure, even though he's been around forever, won a ton of games. He did go through that NCAA suspension in the early 2000s. But your thoughts on Jim Boeheim?
Well, he's known for that 2-3 zone, which he's used for years and years and years at great length. Of course, they got the one national championship when he had Carmelo Anthony. I remember going to that Final Four watching them play. At Boeheim, he's a little bit of a whiner. He's got that whiner's mentality, that whiner's tag on him. But I tell you what, when you think Syracuse basketball, he has been Syracuse basketball there as a player, assistant coach, and as a head coach for all those years. I was kind of shocked it happened so quickly because I thought there may be – this is one of those things where he might say, hey, one more year is going to be the final year. The ACC's been interesting, Mark. Mike Bray is not going back at Notre Dame, and he's looking for another head coaching job. Of course, we lost Roy Williams and Coach K. A lot of turnover in the ACC, just a changing of the guard in that conference. I don't know if it's because these older guys don't want to deal with name, image, likeness, transfer portal, or what's happening with college basketball. Those guys have been here for a long, long time.
Yeah, I saw someone point out Jim Larrañaga and Leonard Hamilton are now the elder statesmen in the ACC, and both guys are, I would imagine close to calling it a career. And once those two guys leave, I think Tony Bennett is then the oldest coach and the longest tenured coach in the ACC. So certainly a different time here for that conference in particular.
Yeah, if we wait long enough, Steve Forbes will be the oldest coach in ACC. Our lone tree guy. It was over at Wake Forest. But, Leonard Hamilton may coach forever because that guy, he's young looking, but I think he's getting, he's in the upper 70s. And I had a chance to meet him when he took his team to the Paradise Jam. What a great person Leonard Hamilton is. And I don't know Jim Leganero personally, but certainly Leonard Hamilton told me his phone. I think he had like 6,000 contacts in his phone. He just knows everybody, and he's got quite a coaching tree and he's really connected in that coaching world, and a lot of respect from people.
We are going to have a third state of Iowa team in the NCAA tournament, Drake. And I'm sure you had a lot of fun at Arch Madness, Kevin, but that was quite a championship game performance by the Bulldogs.
I kind of saw it coming, Mark, because I had that game last Sunday, a week and a half ago Sunday, when they lost at Bradley, and they really felt the Drake Bulldogs and Darren DeVries and staff, they didn't play well. And when I was talking to them before that Bradley game, they were going to do the same thing. They were going to put Sturts at 6'3" on Rink Mass, their center for Bradley, who's 6'10". And when he told me he's going to do that, you know, on that championship game regular season in Bradley at Peoria on the 26th, I said, well, I looked at him and said, are you crazy? But he did it again, and they just kind of tweaked a couple things. They took Darnell Brody and put him in the middle kind of as a center fielder because they knew their, when Deshaun Henry couldn't shoot the basketball, he had to score around the rim. And it really worked well for him. You know, Rink Mass hardly scored in that game, struggled in the game before, but really happy for Darren DeVries and Drake because I think they kind of redeemed themselves. And Tucker DeVries was getting a little heat because he hadn't played well in Peoria, and he came out. He had a couple big threes in transition, and that game was over early.
Yeah, the Bulldogs with an impressive performance there. Drake, I'm looking at Joe Lenardi again specifically, penciled in a lot of the bracketologists, not just with Lenardi, as a 12 seed. And I made the joke earlier, Kevin, I'll see if you agree, that they are going to be a pretty popular upset pick in this upcoming NCAA tournament. Do you think they can get that done in the tournament field, no matter where they are?
I do not. I tell you why, because here's why everybody's going to like them, because they got a point guard that's as good as any in the country in Roman Penn. I mean, this guy's got 600-plus assists in his career. He's unbelievable as a ability to control a game. Darnell Brody, as that big five-man, can match up with those Power 5 programs. He had played lights out in St. Louis. And then they got the player of the year in Tucker DeVries, who might be an NBA player. I mean, at 6'7", has unlimited range. You know, the little small at that four spot with Garrett Sturts, but they make up for it with toughness. I think they're going to be a sexy pick by a lot of people as a 12 seed. And the game that I had Tuesday night, the Summit League Championship, Oral Roberts, who just smacked North Dakota State, Oral Roberts is going to be a 12 seed too. Right now they have matched up against Iowa State. That may change, but there's another team you want to keep an eye on. They have a 7'5" guy in the middle, Vanover, who can block shots, who can shoot threes, and they got one of the best guards in the country in Max A. Smith. So there's another team, Oral Roberts, 12 seed, Drake 12 seed, that a lot of people are going to pick for that upsets.
You kind of touched on it, Kevin. I think the better Darnell Brody plays, the better this team is. And secondly, going into a tournament, this is a veteran Drake team. Now, DeVries is not a senior, but it's older than some NBA teams.
Oh, no question. And they played together for a long time. Penn, Sturts, DJ Wilkins, those guys have been playing together for 4-plus years. And you're right about Darnell Brody. You know, he has got his weight down. I asked Darren DeVries, did you outlaw McDonald's Big Macs from Darnell Brody? He said, no, we found out. We had him write down his what he was eating, and we found out he was going to Starbucks and getting some latte that had like 1,000 calories in it. So they cut him off to Starbucks, and he's lost about 20 pounds. He's put on some great muscle. So I told Darnell, I said, there's no way you're going to get name, image, and likeness deal with Starbucks. You just blew that.
What do you think, Wisconsin and Michigan out of the tournament now, right?
Michigan definitely is. It'd be interesting to see what happens to Wisconsin because they do have, you know, they keep talking about quad one wins. They may still be able to sneak in. I'm not sure. I tell you what, you know, Mark, we always look at this time of year for bid stealers. I just think there's fewer bid stealers now because the mid-majors aren't getting those opportunities. So you're seeing very few multiple bid in the mid-majors just because the way the net is set up. And the fact that they're not getting opportunities to play against quad one, quad two games. So if there's going to be bid stealers, it's going to be teams in this that are playing conference tournaments right now, like Oklahoma State could be a bid stealer. You got, you know, Michigan had that chance, but they're not going to be able to then. But I think Oklahoma State, Arizona State, North Carolina, if they stay alive, those are teams that are going to be taking bids from people like Wisconsin. And, you know, Penn State, I think, is solidly in right now.
What teams, we mentioned Oral Roberts, we mentioned Drake, maybe a Charleston, but teams out there at the mid-major level, or, you know, wherever, that could be spoilers in this tournament.
Well, I think those that we mentioned, Drake, Oral Roberts, Liberty's another team that's played really well. Keep an eye on them. I don't know how many, you know, I don't know. It's really hard to pick that next St. Peter's because you don't know who it's going to be because, you know, teams like that come out of nowhere and they're just on a hot streak right now. If you remember, Oral Roberts 2 years ago was kind of St. Peter's before St. Peter's. They were a number 15 seed and they beat number 2 seed Ohio State that year. And then I think the next one they beat Florida, which is like a 7 seed before losing to Arkansas. So somebody's, that's what makes this tournament so great. If somebody's going to emerge from that, and I tell you what, also, you know, one of the things I love about mid-major tournaments like the Valley is because you're playing for one bid. It's not like, you know, Iowa here. They know they're in the tournament. It's not a do-or-die type win for them today. Ohio State, they're playing for the tournament lives. They've got to figure they got to win this Big Ten championship for them to punch their ticket. And they continue to do that, we're going to have to see. But that's what makes this thing exciting.
Last for me, Kevin, is your work done for the year? You going to have some NIT action?
Well, I'm sitting on hold. That Summit League Championship was my 55th game. You know, I went to chemo and radiation through the season, so I also did 55 games. I'll find out Sunday night if I'm going to get an NIT game, hopefully two. And I'm trying to We're trying to figure out if the Valley's going to get more than one in. Bradley has that automatic bid to the NIT. Southern's a chance since they finished third. But Indiana State, they think they're going to CBI or the CIT, probably the CBI. I'd like to see that team in the NIT because I think they're a really dangerous team. I thought they would have given, you know, Bradley – beat them on a last-second free throws. I thought they would have given Drake a better run in the championship game than Bradley did. They're really, really exciting team. So that's why I'm kind of waiting around that those brackets will come out Sunday after the NCAA brackets, and I'll get a phone call or a text, and I'll start making my travel plans immediately.
Do those teams really care about those three tournaments?
You know, I think in NIT you do. Look at Xavier won it last year. It was interesting they fired their coach at the end of the season, and then they went on to win the NIT, and it gave them momentum into this season. So I think if you got guys coming back, it's really going to help you. But you've got an older team like Bradley, and the Bradley team, they can all come back if they want to, or they could all graduate. So it's such an interesting year, and we got another year of it because they still have that COVID year that they can come back and play again if they like. So it's just kind of a strange dynamics we're seeing in college basketball is players that have these options. They want to transfer out for their grad year and play somewhere else in the transfer portal. It's just kind of a weird as that filters through the system. I don't think the NCAA thought that through real clearly when they just said, hey, everyone gets an extra year during that COVID year. Because that thing is still filtering through the system. And we still have, you know, players that are going to be playing at age 24, 25. And, you know, Austin Fife, Northern Iowa, applied to get another year. And I gave him a hard time saying, you're going to be older than those Drake guys who are collecting Social Security. He goes, no, I'm only going to be 23 when I start next season. But he's hoping to get, I think it'd be a 6-year of eligibility for Austin Fife if he's granted that medical hardship.
Kevin, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the hoops weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, you have a good one. Stay close to that TV.
We will. We will. The coach, Kevin Lehman, joining us here on KGYM. Easy assignment to stay close to the TV here as we bring you championship week coverage here on KGYM. Iowa falls to Ohio State 73-69. The stay is short for the Hawkeyes in the Big Ten tournament in Chicago. Iowa State, meanwhile, they will play on. Looking more likely and likely, it will be Kansas. The Jayhawks with a 62-48 lead. Make that 62-50 lead over West Virginia. We'll check the scoreboard one more time. Also, a Bowling Night in America recap on the way next on the Gym Class at KGYM.
March doesn't have a lock on all the madness.
We've got some, too.
And we're giving away Mini Coopers at each Wild Rose location in Clinton, Emmitsburg, and Jefferson. It's Mini Madness.
Now through March 31st.
Earn points for entries when you play with your club wild card at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel, and you could score your own Mini Cooper.
See Club Wild for details.
Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton.
You'd rather be here.
Must be 21 or older. If you or someone you know needs gambling treatment, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And last night was indeed a bowling night in America. Another one without Scott Unash. And Mark has all the details on Bowling Night in America about how things went. Mark, was it a successful night last night on the lanes?
The slide continues.
Ooh.
For the Rusty Nails, losing 21-9 to Viking. It's been a tumultuous 6-7 weeks here as the Rusty Nails have dropped to 8th by only half a point, but 8th in the adult Evergreen League. And, you know, I think the boys are bowling as if there's draft picks available this summer. That's not the case, guys. So we'll do it again next week. But Tyler Follett had a good night. He had the top game in the league at 268. Our own Corey Starry second at 267. Top series of the night, Jeremy Klein, 778. Congrats to all.
Very good. And questions for May City Bowl? I want to check out bowling times, open lane times. Feel free to give them a call. Mark, at the number?
362-0136, and a ton of information at the website, May City Bowl. CR.com.
All right. Sponsor of Bowling Night in America. You guys are, the Rusty Nails are not tanking for Victor Wembanyama. That is not happening. Not tanking for Bryce Young or whoever number one pick is in the NFL either. So, not the case. Although Victor Wembanyama might be a pretty good bowler. He's a tall guy. Who knows? But,
Mookie Betts.
True. That's true. Getting close to the end of the show here today. Again, just to recap, in case you're joining us late, Iowa falling to Ohio State 73-69. So the Hawkeyes go into the NCAA tournament on a two-game losing streak. Philip Rabracha with 20 points in the loss for the Hawkeyes. Ohio State moves on to play Michigan State tomorrow afternoon. So a little bit more normal show for us tomorrow, Mark. We'll have plenty of college basketball to get to on the show tomorrow. I want to remind folks, so we do have Iowa State coming up tomorrow night at 6. We'll join it right ahead of tip-off. Cyclones likely taking on Kansas in the Big 12 tournament semifinals. We'll have that for folks tomorrow night after local programming. But we invite folks to stay tuned. We've got the Todd Brommelkamp show on the way between 4 and 6. Sounds like John Bonenkamp going to join him to talk about what happened today live from Chicago. That's coming up. We do have some college basketball tonight, the ACC quarterfinals, Virginia and North Carolina, one of the games we'll have for you tonight here courtesy of ESPN Radio. Mark, enjoy the rest of the day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk then.
Mark Dukes joining me here on KGYM. Thanks to Isaac as well. Todd Brommelkamp on the way between 4 and 6.